This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Get on with it, man.
Hello everyone, and thanks for joining the award-winning To Hull and Back podcast sponsored by Old Zoological Bar and Kingfisher. I'm your host Nathaniel, and tonight I'm joined by three favourite podcast people, Will, Ant and Tom. So it should be another positive episode after the exciting signing of Scott Twine and a delicious 2-1 away win, our first away win since February this year. So Will, Tom and Ant, thanks for joining, and you're as positive as me.
Yeah, we've got to be very positive after that.
Absolutely.
Come on, man.
Good.
I think in terms of the game, like we dominated, like when we was playing against 11 men, then we did against 10. You know what I mean? Like for some reason we stopped our merger a bit once they went down to 10, weren't creating enough opportunities, wasn't sort of threatening them enough, and obviously they sort of grew into the game a bit more and got encouragement from that, and then you know, eventually obviously got to, you know, the match with Alerta, but yeah. Obviously, well, a great victory. So,
And I think in the chat you weren't quite as happy with the performance. Of course, Blackburn went down to 10 men after half an hour, and I think when you're especially playing this possession-based style, you want to see sort of the fruits of, you know, stretching the other team when they've only got 10 men. So, what were your thoughts on that? Why was it slightly disappointing?
I think always dropping down to 10 men is one of City's worst things, because we just struggle to break down teams that obviously go a bit more defensive. We like it when teams come at us and we can hit them on the counter and exploit that space. And I think when obviously Blackburn went down to 10 men, they made a back five. I don't know if they already started with a back five, but they sat deeper. And then obviously we just didn't. If you're going to play against a team that's got 10 men, you've got places on the pitch which you're going to have more space. You've got an extra man, so you can create overloads or overlaps on one side of the pitch, and we just didn't seem to move it quick enough for me to do that. When Blackburn went down to 10, you want to be looking, you know, you want to be changing your system, right, okay, now this is a good chance for us to really push on and score. We didn't play badly by any stretch of the imagination. We were always in control of the game, but we didn't probe enough when Blackburn went down to 10. For me, we were just too slow in possession, and like you said, it allowed Blackburn to grow into the game. And then when obviously they went 1-0 up, you're thinking, oh, it's a case of typical City now, isn't it? We're going to lose a game that we probably should have taken three from. But it took that goal to sort of inject the urgency and tempo into the game that we should have had an hour, for the last hour before that. So it can be concerning. But like we say, if at the end of the day, we ended up winning the game, and it's a really big 3 points, especially Ewood Park, we never win there. So if you'd said to anybody, we've got 6 points from Norwich, Chef Wednesday and Blackburn before the season started, we'd have all took it, wouldn't we?
I think, you know, like what you mentioned there, weren't really getting it wide enough and like stretching the pitch. I think against 10 men, it's so key to stretch the pitch. And there was times where we actually got the ball to sort of overloaded the wide areas and got the ball to Swan, and He was able to get a ball in the box, but we didn't do that enough. And that was mainly in the first half. And then in the second, we didn't really do enough either. Was moving the ball too slow. Like, we was having all this possession, but it was all in our defensive third. And then when we lost the ball, Blackburn broke and looked dangerous because obviously we're committing that many bodies forward, didn't even threaten enough. And then Blackburn just broke on a counter. And then obviously that's how they get the first goal.
The problem was, is like, even when we was in promising positions, like, we're on the edge of the box and you've got the perfect opportunity to have a shot. And we wouldn't do it. We'd move it sideways and it end up back at the centre-back. And I think that's where your frustrations grow, you know, where you're in a position where you can be really pressing to get the 3 points in the game. You're in an advantageous position having the extra man. And we seem to be reluctant to be taking that opportunity kind of thing. So when we're in opportunity to cross the ball or shoot, we were deciding to go back and play it safe instead. Mm-hmm. And I think when you've got the extra man, you shouldn't really be playing it that safe, should you? I think that's where ultimately the frustration came from. But like we said, at the end of the day, we realised that they were playing still quite a high line with their back five and that there was spacing behind. And then when Connolly came on, he made those runs in behind. And you've got someone like Seri and then obviously the long ball from Jonesy that went in behind and found him. So when you've got that option, it's good to have a plan B, which is something we didn't have last season, in order to try and counteract that change that we needed.
I think for it was like two literally balls over the top that got us a goal. And I mean, then when we got the... when we obviously drew the red card from the lap, it was literally one ball up the field and it just shows you play a bit more direct sometimes and get the rewards. And obviously the three talking points in the game came from just literally a ball over the top. And obviously Seri's pass was a delightful one. Like, you watch it back so many times and it's class. But, and obviously Jones as well, that was a great ball over the top. So,
Yeah, it's good to have that variety because we have been a bit predictable, I think, last season. That was one of the main complaints. Lee says that we didn't play brilliantly, but we got the 3 points. So, I mean, that's the second time we've come from behind to get a win. I guess earlier on in the year, maybe performances isn't what you're looking for. You just get those initial points on the board, win at home or win away. So, I think the most important thing is we got the 3 points, even if it wasn't the most fluid performance.
That's my main takeaway from it is... it's a sign of a good team. It's a cliche, but it is a sign of a good team if you don't play your best and still get the win. And City did that on what Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shall we talk about Scott Twine then? Because I think his debut was very hyped. Unfortunately, didn't get one of the free kick goals. He had two free kick attempts against Burnley, his parent club's main rivals, Blackburn. So, I mean, who saw the game and what did you think of Twine playing off the, was it the left cutting in? And he had a few good attempts, so I think that's quite good. But what about the others?
I think Twine on the left, I feel like he's better centrally. Like, I mean, in terms of affecting the game, that's why I play for Burnley. Like, and I think the system we play now with the sort of, obviously, the two fan drifting out to the right and, you know, obviously quite a fluid system. So I think when, obviously, we've got players back, I think, Swan will probably play more centrally, and that's where he's best. But I was quite impressed with him, to be honest. Like, you know, he's good on the ball. He's good at manoeuvring out like tight situations. You know, he was getting to the byline sometimes, putting crosses in. He had a decent debut, and unfortunately, I had a bet on him to Scott's side of the box. Didn't do it, but we go again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what are your thoughts on the signing in general? Because we've talked a lot about him on the podcast and we were linked to him last year. I had a very good chat with Turfcast on Thursday, I think, about the signing and they were full of praise. So do you think he'll live up to the potential?
Yeah, I mean, you can usually tell how good a player is based on other fans' reactions to your signings. So the fact that pretty much every other club in the country seems quite envious that we've managed to get him, I think, tells its own story. But we all know
some seem particularly salty, I've noticed.
Yeah, one of them obviously particularly very happy. But we all saw his stats from when he was in League One with MK Dons, and then last season you know he might have had a better season had he not been injured for the vast majority of it. I think he only played 18 times or something for Burnley last season, so he'll feel like he has a point to prove at this level if he can stay fit all year and you know get 40 odd games under his belt. And again, something that we've been missing is them set pieces. I mean, we had plenty of corners in that game. We didn't score any of them, but I do think obviously when he's on the training ground a bit more and working with the players and getting those routines set in, we might get a few more goals from set pieces, which could be the difference. I mean, a player like Scott Twine can be the difference between challenging for the top six and finishing mid table because he gets you those goals and creates goals, which. which obviously, like, as a team, you need to be getting goals from all over the pitch. And we were quite dependent, obviously, last year on one or two players. So this season was kind of littering the squad with players that can create and score goals. So someone like him could get us easily create between 10 and 20 goals if he's scoring or assisting them anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, last year we had so many duels. You're right that someone like him on set pieces, you know, because even at home in League One, when we had lots of goals from corners with Elder and Honeyman, we didn't play very well at home. It was a lot of 1-0s from set pieces. So it does show you that you can really use that to your advantage. Shall we talk about Aaron Connolly? Because a brace, 3 goals in 2, 5 goals in 8 in the league for Hull City over the 2 seasons. I did compile, and I'll bring them up in a second, some comments from Middlesbrough fans. But the general gist was that they thought he was awful on loan for him. So I guess that sort of disproves, you know, sometimes they can be wrong. Hopefully Twine will be as good as Burnley and MK Dons fans have said.
There's been plenty of players who we've had and they've been rubbish for us and they've gone somewhere else and been superb.
Absolutely. The other one was that mainly good luck to Hull and feel very sorry for Hull rather than for Connolly. But he's scoring lots of goals for City and, you know, on a one-year contract, probably quite a low transfer fee. It looks like we're, you know, going to get a really good bit of cheap business there for a really good player who could, you know, he scored 3 in 1 every 18 minutes. He could definitely get to 15 or 20, and hopefully Tufan or Delap or Oscar could get up there as well. So, Tom, talk about Aaron Connolly and those two wonderful finishes.
Yeah, Aaron Connolly is just, that's obviously a different striker than what we've got in Oscar and Delap. He's sort of a nippy player, runs in behind Harry's, hustles defenders. He's quite strong for his size. And the key thing is that he's the one that's going to run in behind. He's going to latch onto them balls, and that's exactly what he did there. And I think, obviously, out of the three strikers, his movement's probably the best. He's always looking to run the channels, whereas, obviously, Oscar and Delap, obviously, I know Delap runs the channels, but he's good at holding up the ball as well, Delap. But, obviously, Connolly's, them two finishes were superb. I mean, the first one, you know, great volley, like, sort of, like, instinctive. And then the second one was just a nice calm finish into the corner, sort of waited for the goalkeeper to move and then slotted it to the left. And, you know, what more can you ask for from his first 2 games back at the club?
Yeah, excellent. Excellent start. And it's nice seeing all the Republic of Ireland, because, of course, they have fewer players in England, all the accounts sort of being excited every time he scores. I think we're going to have a few players getting back into their national teams. Ozan will be back.
We have a good record with Irish players.
Exactly. It's nice to have that. So I guess with Delap, you mentioned he's good on the ball and holding the ball up. Connolly makes those runs. It's the second time he scored with a long ball over the top from Seri. He scored one against QPR. And then, of course, Ozan Tufan's been playing as a striker. We all know why he's so good. Does that make Oscar perhaps the striker we're least confident at the club at the moment? Because last year he was our top scorer. So, Ant, where do you think Oscar fits into the system at the moment with Delap and Connolly playing so well?
It's tough, isn't it? I mean, the thing is with Oscar is, like you said, each one of the forwards we've got offers us something different. So Connolly is one of those who's going to wind up the opposition. He's going to be a nightmare for defenders. He'll run in behind and he'll stretch defences. Delap's hold-up play and the way he turns players as well. I really like Delap, you know, he's really good. The way he was turning their high arm for about 10 minutes of the game, we just had him on toast. But you've got Delap that can hold up the ball and bring others into the game. Then you've got Ozan, who's more of a false nine. He likes to drop deep and have them shots from range. Then you've got Oscar, who's just a clinical poacher. I think when we've got a fully fit Oscar, because he did look good pre-season, I think if you get him, it's hard for him to get in the side currently on form. Because obviously Delap's so crucial to the way we're playing. And then Connolly's obviously on fire. And Tufan scored that trick against Wednesday. So he's going to have to be patient, I think. But that's only good. Because all these strikers that are fit this season and scoring goals, which was our problem last season, means that he's going to have to train harder than ever and get himself into a position where he's working on the worser areas of his game in order to get a chance in the first team again. So we might have an even better Oscar this season, but he's going to be one of those strikers, isn't he, for games where when we're expected to have the majority of the chances, that's where you want him to be on the pitch, because then we can stick the ball in the box and hope he's on the end of them. But I think, you know, the tough games like Blackburn away probably wasn't an Oscar type of game. But like we say, it's good to have that variety, isn't it? We didn't have it last season. It's a good headache for Rosinha to have. I mean, the way that we're sort of absolutely littering the attacking options now, it's getting to a point where I think we're not going to have an issue scoring goals this season, hopefully.
Mm. Yeah, we're the third top scorers in the league. I think 13th top scorers in England out of 90, second. So defensively, we've not been quite as strong, but I suppose... we've sort of seen it. We would have perhaps drawn against Blackburn last season, but we did lose against Norwich. But 6 points is better than perhaps just grinding out three draws like we would have done last year. So, I mean, four games in now, we were very negative after the first two games, and deservedly so. Now we've scored six goals with 6 points in the last two games. Generally, I'll go to everyone. Well, initially, four games into the season, how are you feeling so far?
I'm feeling all right. I didn't think it was all doom and gloom at the start, like some people on Twitter, but Twitter's mental anyway. I still want to judge it after 10 games, and we played a good handful of games, but I think it's looking positive. Like was mentioned before, against Blackburn, under Shotter, we'd have definitely lost. Under Liam last season, we'd have probably drawn, and under Liam this season, we've won.
Yeah, so that's improvement. Ant, what are your thoughts? Are we better than you thought we'd be, points wise, or less?
I expected us to be about. I think I'd have taken 4 points from these three games. So to have six, we're obviously in a better position than probably I expected us to be in. But you wanted to see reaction from those first two games, and that's what we've got. So, you know, it's all well and good criticising Rosinha. I mean, I criticised him the first two games. I thought the team was way off it. But you've got to praise him as well for the way that he's got the team organised and changed a couple of, you know, tactically putting Greavesy in, I think, makes us a bit better. Dropping into that back three, I think, when we're in possession, helps us a lot more. But like we say, it's getting to a point where we're looking like we're better than we are. We're certainly in an offensive sense. If we can try and make us a bit more solid at the back, I think we'll be onto something special. But I mean, if we're going to sacrifice the defensive aspect of the game from last season and score more goals this year, I wouldn't be too displeased at that. I think that's the attacking football that Adrian wants, isn't it? So as long as you're scoring more than you concede.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tom, 6 points from nine.
Yeah, I'd have taken four. I felt going to Norwich first game tough. I felt, you know, struggle to get points there, and that was true. And then Wednesday, you really expect to beat them, given that some of the bad, you know, disappointing coming up from League One, so you expect to beat them. And against Blackburn, I felt, until before that Wednesday game, I thought a point there would have been good, but the fact we've come away from all three, first win there since 2016 in the league, you know, you can't argue with the start we've had. And, you know, as we saw last season, it's only a start. It's how we push on now, and, you know, we have to stay consistent. But the early signs are good, because I think Rosinha, obviously being in from the off this season, already learning from his mistakes, wanted more attacking. You know, bringing in, obviously we're linked to a whole host of other players now, and looking like we're going to get two more good players in at least. So I think the competition's there now. Touch wood, stay free from injuries, and then hopefully we could push on. But yeah, I'm happy with the start. And at the start of the season anyway, I took the table, so if we're in and around mid-table at the end or pushing playoffs, then I'd be happy with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we're seventh at the moment. I think I wouldn't mind finishing seventh at the end of the year. That would be quite a positive thing. But yeah, I mean, it's three games. It's very difficult to look at. Will, were you going to jump in with something there?
Yeah, I think looking back in hindsight, Donny was horrendous. But I think Norwich, when you look at how Norwich have carried on so far this season at the start, but obviously early days, I think the performance doesn't look as bad as it was, because Norwich have blasted everyone away they've played since then.
Mm. Yeah, well, they got another good win against Millwall today with three goals. They're scoring goals for fun, really. So perhaps, you know, and if we had got a draw I think it would have been an exceptional start, really.
Amazing, but I don't think it was as bad in the end as it could have been.
Yeah, I suppose so. So, Tom, you mentioned that we might be getting some new signings in. One player that we've been linked to with a permanent deal is Jaden Philogene from Aston Villa. The 21-year-old winger was on loan at Cardiff last season. He is the mystery young English talent that we've been, that has been discussed in the whole lineup, especially for the last few weeks. So it's nice to know finally who he is. I think, I mean, I haven't really seen whether Cardiff fans were very happy with him last year, but I think if he's a highly rated player and on a permanent, he can grow into a better one. And I think wingers are still our problem position. So hopefully having maybe Twine and Philogene on the other wing, that would be, those would be good options. And you said you were slightly underwhelmed. So thoughts on this potential transfer?
Not underwhelmed to say it's a bad signing. I just I was expecting, you know, Cole Palmer.
Yeah, the way it was built up.
I mean, to me, Scott Twine is a better player.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I mean? But obviously, on a permanent, to have somebody like Jadon Philogene, who, you know, if we sign him for a 4 or 5 year deal and he progresses at the rate that he can do and reaches his potential, then it's a fantastic signing. He's obviously a player that can play on either wing. Like you say, we can drop Twine central. It gives us variety. It lets us switch it up at the top. He had a really good second half at the MKM last season for Cardiff. I mean, he tore Jacob Greaves a new one. So I expect Greaves is going to be really happy to see him in training and getting nutmegged on a daily basis again. But it's an exciting signing in the sense that it's good to see us going for players like that on a permanent. I think it's very easy, obviously, to get these players on loan. But it just shows ambition for where Agen wants to take us, what kind of squad Rosinia wants to build. And to get players like that that have got, you know, massive potential, and have him here for years, or I would imagine his contract would be, is just a massive statement of intent. And I think, again, you look at the reaction from other fans on social media, barring the Villa ones who keep telling us that we can't afford him, that they're all, it's another one that, you know, people are starting to sit up and go, do you know what, Hull are assembling quite a good side here. So that, like we say, having players like Philogene, Twine, Delap, Connolly, Toufan, Traoré, Slater, who's yet to score yet, so
Longman,
he's due a goal, isn't he? No, I think Longman will be on his way out. But you know, we're starting to lit the squad with players with massive attacking potential, and it's quite exciting.
Yeah, Will, do you want to respond to that comment from Ian Templeman?
Yes, this is the mystery player I couldn't talk about because I accidentally heard something at the stadium.
Well, see. I'll let you finish, but Ant said that you thought Twine was a better player. Will, you think that Twine and Philogene about the same?
Yeah. Everyone was going about who it could be. I personally, for me, because I've been after Twine, I've been wanting Twine to be fair, something with him last year. I think they're both about the same level of hype for me personally. I think, as Ant's already said, the potential on Philogene is immense, and he could easily go on to do some great things. That would be a fantastic signing. And I'm glad it's been revealed, because I hated the fact that I had to keep it secret.
Well, I kept suggesting players like Rashford and Smith-Rowe in the chat.
And last episode, the hour after the episode finished, having Nathaniel just shoot names at me over and over, and me having to just go, no.
Actually, an hour.
It was at least an hour.
Yeah. Sorry. But that was fun. Tom, Twine, Philogene, how do you balance those?
I think due to the obviously hype that Twine's carried for the past year, the fact that I've wanted him so long, people are going to say Twine. And personally, I think Twine currently probably better. I think he's like 2 years old, 2 or 3 years older.
Isn't Philogene 21 and Twine's 24?
Yeah. So like, I think in terms of the quality now, you look at Twine and you think, yeah, he's a bit more of a complete player. But I think with Philogene, it's the excitement knowing that we're getting a 21-year-old that's highly rated, you know, and I think he can obviously grow into that potential with us, hopefully reach his ceiling. But that's as long as we get him, and you know, if we do, it's a fantastic signing, I think. And you know, last season Cardiff struggled to score goals, and he was one of the obviously their better players, obviously producing goals and assists. So I think in a better team for us with more attacking players like Seri feeding them the ball, you know, and like I said, Delap and Connolly and Toufan up front, I think, you know, it's he's going to obviously thrive at our club. So, you know, I'm hoping we'll get that deal done now. And yeah, because I think big links of him most of the summer. I think we've seen like reports here that it could be Philogene, it could be this other player. But yeah, it's good to finally know it's him now.
I think looking at the amount of players that we could sign on a permanent deal, I think he was relatively reasonable because, you know, he didn't have an amazing season at Cardiff, but you know, highly rated enough, whereas we're never going to get anyone perhaps better because we don't have, you know, parachute payment sort of money.
It'll be interesting to see how much we actually pay for him, because he was, a lot of Villa fans wanted him involved in the first team this season, especially with a couple of injuries to Buendia and Coutinho. And obviously, like you say, you've got the English tax that usually you get on young players. He's only 21. He's got potential. He's had a really good pre-season for Villa, as far as I'm aware, as well. So it will be interesting to see how much we pay for him. I can't imagine it would be a massive amount, or else we won't be going for him. So it's quite odd how we might have wangled this transfer for a relatively cheap fee, considering you know, he could easily be a 10 mil plus player in Villa fans' opinion. Yeah. So it'll be a transfer that they won't be best pleased with. There's probably a sell on and a buy back and a X amount if we get promoted or whatever. It'll be one of those very weirdly worked transfers. But to get a transfer like that permanently in the Championship is amazing. If it goes through, obviously, it's still time.
Yeah. I mean, you've mentioned it there. I think we signed Alian and Cynic for probably around 3 million each. So I imagine it could well be similar to that, perhaps. Does this spell the end for at least one of those? Because we would have many options, and I don't see a Traore or, you know, obviously not a Lequila or a Twine going. So I think to sort of make the space, one of them's got to go at least.
It's interesting because Rossini likes Cynic, and he likes how he's responded apparently in training. He wants to try and get it, but I don't see how he's going to get in the side. No. And I think it's still Valiar, but I think fitness is really what's holding Alliar back, to be honest. I don't see how they get in the side at the moment unless there's another injury crisis like last season. So
I'd sell Cynic and learn Alliar out.
I think one of them's definitely getting sold, and I was going to say I think the other one might go on loan. Don't know which way around, though.
I think Alliar's had four relatively significant injuries in a year and a half, and I think that's just too much of a, you know, poor fitness kind of record. So I just don't see him getting into the team. Same with Cynic. Even if they do get into the team, fighting past all the other players we've got after being out of the squad and not having a pre-season, they could do that for two games and then get injured again. So I don't really see it happening realistically. But anything else to mention about the amount of wingers we've got? Because it's very exciting looking at the amount of attacking options and the sort of different trios or sort of four attacking players we could have if we're playing two strikers. So I guess one thing I'll ask, Connolly, Delap, Tufan, Oscar, probably maybe Twine. Do we want to change our opinions on who's going to be top scorer? Because I said Oscar, and I don't really believe that anymore. So Tom?
I've already forgotten who I said.
Two fans, wasn't it? Or Connolly, I think.
Well, if it was Connolly, I'm happy to say five. If it wasn't, then...
Well, I don't want to be too reactionary just because two fans scored a hat-trick and Connolly scored a brace, but because Oscar's not started any games except the Doncaster game, where we were rubbish, I don't see him being in the team enough to be the top scorer. But I think Connolly getting the amount of goals he's had so far and hopefully getting fully fit, I think... Because he could play on the wing or as one of the strikers, maybe I want to say.
Oscar's an interesting one, you know, because there was reports earlier on in the window that we had solid interest from teams abroad for Oscar. They seem to quieten down, but I reckon that there's still something going on there. I reckon if we've
been January might be,
then Oscar might be on his way.
Yeah, but I think if we'd lost him at the start of the summer, I'd be very disappointed. But now, you think maybe if you can get a few goals out of him until January, that wouldn't be so bad.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I think it's time to bring on our Bristol City fan from Robin's Talk. If I can press the button, I'm having technical difficulties here. Ant, can you get him on? Oh, here we go.
You've done it.
I've done it.
Then you kicked Wonderful. Him off again. We're really
Have I really? Show. I'm not going to touch it. Here he is.
Hi, Annie.
Hello, Ant. Hello, everyone.
Oh, he's gone again. Is he?
No, I'm here.
He's gone for
how,
me.
How? What's going on here?
And Nathaniel's apparently.
Well, live, Nathaniel.
I'm not clicking anything.
Right, he's there.
Okay. Okay, there we go.
Talk to us about Bristol City's start to the season, with it being a one draw, one defeat, one loss. It's about average, is that fair?
To be honest, that draw on opening day against Preston was not deserved. We should have lost that game. We were outplayed for most of it, and Preston should have won. Millwall away was pretty good. We got the 3 points. It was kind of a last minute smash and grab in a way, but we did enough, I suppose, defensively to kind of earn the clean sheet and win the game. And Birmingham yesterday at home was absolutely abysmal. We were really, really poor. Yeah. Didn't have a shot on target, and just allowed Birmingham to run things. And the common theme out of the three games has been just a lack of creativity. I think we're the only team in the Championship not to score a goal from open play so far, which is, that's just about sums it up.
Worrying.
It's very worrying. The two goals we have scored have been from Harry Cornick long throws. So if we don't have him on the pitch in the 90th minute, we're probably not going to win. It's been kind of worrying so far. And after Preston and Birmingham especially, we kind of look at that Millwall game and go, yeah, we were a bit lucky actually, because we probably caught Millwall on a bad day. It's been a pretty negative start in terms of feeling around the fan base, and just generally haven't been performing to our capabilities, which we know we can because we have some good players in there.
Mm-hmm. So before the season started, where did you think Bristol City were going to be this season? And after the three performances, are you now less confident that they're going to be where you perhaps hoped?
Well, we finished 14th last season, and we've been kind of on this slow upward trajectory under Nigel Pearson. And we kind of felt this was kind of the deciding season in his tenure here, because we've had two seasons of kind of transition, and now's the time to really push on. I thought we'd be in the top half. I had us 10th. So I thought, you know, we'd be kind of pushing. We ultimately don't have enough quality and depth in our squad compared to the other teams around us. But I thought we'd be pushing, and compared to some of the other teams who I had below us, i.e. Birmingham and Ipswich and Plymouth and whatnot, and even Hull, I think. So I expect us to probably be in the bottom half again, unfortunately. But yeah, in terms of confidence wise, I'm much more pessimistic I am now than I was before the season, because we had some really good signings in, generally looked pretty positive, and it's just kind of faded away now.
Mm-hmm. So we're playing Bristol City on Friday under the floodlights. How do you see that game going? What are your thoughts on Hull City so far this year, if you have any?
No, I've been... I saw a lot of people kind of underestimate Hull. Put Hull in the bottom half. And I was a bit surprised, because I thought Hull were really impressive under Rossini back end of last season, and that defensive record was really good. And I thought Darlow was going to be a miss, but generally I thought you'd be fine. And opening day defeat to Norwich, you might say, oh, well, that's 98th minute. But let's be honest here, Norwich probably deserved the win on the basis of the game. Sheffield Wednesday, you catch them at a good time, you take that win. They're going to take a bit of time to get going. Mm-hmm. Then who was it you played? Blackburn away. 10 men always helps, but it's not always easy to play against 10 men. Generally, I think Rossini is a very, very good manager. I think he's if any Bristol City fans are going to watch this, I don't want to rile them up, but he's kind of the manager we need, really, after Pearson, the kind of progressive manager, young, who's going to add goals, goals to our team. And I've been quietly impressed. In terms of how I see the game going, we're probably, in terms of how we're set up, probably better playing away from home than we are at home, because we don't have that added pressure. And quite honestly, our away atmosphere is far better than our home atmosphere. So hopefully that counts for something. I think we'll probably get nothing at the game. I don't see us threatening Hull based on the fact that you've got a good defence. And from last season, no. I'm going with last season. I don't see us getting anything. Do you want a score prediction now?
Well, one thing before that, I'd like to ask perhaps who you're most scared about from a City perspective and who the best Bristol City fans are. But it's time for the most exciting part of the podcast. And actually, it'd be nice to have an opposition fan give their view on the insight that I've got. So this is the combined lineup between Bristol City and Hull City this season. If it'll show up on the screen. And yeah, it'll be interesting
You can rip him to shreds, Annie. We do. It's usually very poor.
I've gone
free.
He's actually gone from more Hull City players from Bristol today.
I'll read it out for the listeners and then you can roast me. Is that okay? So we've got O'Leary and goal, Pring, Greaves, Jones, Coyle, Seri and Dan James. Is it Dan James?
Matthew James.
is it Harry Bell on the wing?
Sam Bell.
I think it's Scott Twine and then Aaron Connolly up front after his break. So that's the lineup. All you want.
I'll go through this individually and very slowly.
Okay.
Your starting goalkeeper is Matt Ingram. No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I put him over Max O'Leary.
I just thought O'Leary's actually had a clean sheet. Ingram's not had a clean sheet, so until he's had one, I can't really justify putting him in the squad.
It's quite easy to have clean sheets when you're in front of a pretty good defence and a not very good attack with the opposition. Max, he's a good shot stopper, but his distribution is quite horrendous. Louis Call at right back. George Tanner. He's gone a bit under the radar, so I'll give you that. Jones and Greaves. No, I mean, Zach Viner's got to be.
Jones had an assist against Blackburn, but maybe Viner could be in there.
No,
it's not really what he's in there for, is it, to be fair?
Yeah, but he got one.
I'll give you Jacob Greaves, 100%. But Zach Viner's got to be in there. He's been outstanding for 12 months.
Okay.
Cam Pring. Yeah. Who's your starting left? Or Vinagre, is it?
I just
moved that Greaves instead of that Pring and then put Varner
in the middle.
Okay. Matty James. Our midfield is not very good. We'll go with that. I'll take that. Seri, Seri's quality. Sam Bell. Okay. Yeah, we'll go with it. Scott Twine is brilliant. I agree. Ozan Tufan. Who's our. We don't have a number 10, so go ahead. Aaron Connolly up front. If we had a fully fit team, I'd put Tommy Conway up there, but we don't, so we'll go with Aaron Connolly. Generally, yeah, you know what? That is not the worst thing I've ever seen. So
not bad.
Yeah.
Well,
that's shining praise that for.
I'll put a blog out explaining my choices. So I'll perhaps. Change, but Ingram, Viner, and Tanner perhaps later on in the week. But thanks for the input. That's actually very good to have an opposition fan, because usually we just look at it from our Hull City perspective. So that's very useful.
To be honest, mate,
and I'll take the praise
from some of the other things I've heard on Twitter. That's not absolutely horrendous. So yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Well, shall we go around the five of us and do our predictions and then add it to the... Ant, have you got the prediction table up?
No.
No? Can you find it and read out the scores? Or you forgot to do it? That's a shame.
I'll do it after the episode.
Pretty certain I'm still top.
No, I'll say for the Blackburn game, man, by the way. I forgot. I said 2-1-6.
I can't remember. I'll have to double check.
Oh, Harry Bullimont is not very happy that there's no Regan Slater, but I have to include some Bristol players. And Serian Tufan, I thought, had to be in there. So that's fine.
Tufan was quite anonymous against Blackburn, to be fair.
See,
I've had Slater in for him.
I don't have a set formula for it, but I'm doing it that he's quite a good player and he scored a hat-trick, you know, two games ago. So even though he didn't do very well against Blackburn, he still sort of has to be in there. So that's what I was thinking. But I've seen that if we win 2-0 on Friday, we're going to be going top of the league. That will inform my prediction somewhat that I think we potentially could do that, but we haven't had a clean sheet yet. I'm not convinced by the defence, so I'm going to predict 2-1 to Hull City. Will, do you want to go next?
Yeah, you already know what I'm going to say, and it's 3-0. Because I have to say it until we do it.
He says that every game, Andy. It's not against Bristol. Don't worry.
I've put myself into a corner where I now have to say that until we eventually win 3-0.
Mm. Well, I would take 3-0. That would put us top of the league, but I don't see it happening. And
I'm going to say 1-0 City. First clean sheet.
Which city?
One? Hull. Cool.
Hull.
Yeah.
Cool. Tom?
I'm going to go 2-1 as well. 2-1 to Hull City.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's 4 Hull wins. Annie, do you want to
clean sweep?
Predict something, you know, controversial against that?
I'd take a goal. No, never mind a point. I'd take a goal. If you have a shot on target, that's brilliant. We're going to
You can't be worse than Sheffield Wednesday. Come on.
No, they scored 2 goals, though. We're not even going to
threaten. But there are only 2 shots on target.
Yeah. We sort of gifted them.
We've had 3 shots on target all season. We'll lose 2-0. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ian and Harry are both going 3-1 in the comments. So I think, would you take that? Score a goal, but get battered?
I'd take a goal.
Okay, what's the fans' feelings on Nigel Pearson at the minute, then? Because I never rated him when he was here. And it's strange that he's still a champion.
In hindsight, like him from what he did again. In hindsight.
It changes every game. It's when you have a manager that's kind of robust and, you know, bit out there in terms of what he says in the media. It's always a bit volatile in terms of if you win, it's all like, oh, this is all part of the plan. This is going to go well in a year's time. And then if he loses, it's like, oh, we play awful football. We're not very good. We can't attack. We can't score. But yeah, generally, I think we're willing to give Pearson until like Christmas time, and if we're not anywhere near the top half or just generally not don't look competitive, you know, he'll probably go. But for me, this will probably be his last season. His contract's up at the end of this one, and then we go from there. I suppose I don't see the club renewing it. I don't see if we finish bottom half, like 14th or 15th again, then he's definitely gone. If we finish 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, which is not going to happen. But if we finish around that region, he'll probably stay on for another year. But this is definitely his, in my opinion, last season, and then he'll go.
Just not a very likable guy, is he?
Well, Birmingham fans will agree with that.
He doesn't suffer fools gladly, I think, is what it is. He doesn't like it when someone challenges him.
It just doesn't instill confidence, does he? You want to listen to your manager after a game, like Rosinia does with us when we listen to him speak. You can tell that, you know, he cares about the club. He's got an identity, a vision he wants to do. But all I ever remember from from Pearson when he was here was when he was on the radio, it just sounded like he was annoyed that he had to do media. So it just, you know what I mean?
He was annoyed when he had to do media.
Yeah, but fans want to know, don't they? You've got to be transparent. You've got to tell the fans what you're planning to do, what went wrong, how you're going to correct that. And he just doesn't want to do it. It's like he don't want to talk. He don't want to communicate anything to the fans whatsoever. And it's annoying.
You're right, because we have a new signing, Ross McCrory, and he got injured in pre-season, and he picked up a bacterial infection, and he said at first there'll be a couple of weeks, he'll be back for first day passes, he's not back, and they'll be like, oh, he'll be back for Millwall, he's not back. He'll be back for Birmingham. He's not back. And now he needs surgery. He's going to be out for a few months. Just say that then. It's just like, what's the point in delaying it? Just be honest. Sometimes he's a bit too honest as well. Sometimes I remember when he first came into the club and we were a mess, like a proper mess. And he kind of just went, well, I don't want half these players next season. It's sometimes he's a bit too honest, and sometimes he's not very open at all. So, look, he's a very Marmite figure. I think some fans love him here. And quite honestly, I can see why, because he's stabilised us and he's taken us from, well, being in the complete mess and a joke of a club to being stable in the Championship again, which is kind of what we need. Yeah, I think real progress will come once he's gone.
See, this is what the reason I like Pearson is for a reason that you suggested there, is that when we got relegated from the Premier League, he came in and we were a club in administration, and he essentially steadied the ship on the field. He brought in cheap signings and he sort of steadied the team. And I think the team, he was a good stepping stone, the team he built, for the team that eventually got us back to the Premier League under Steve Bruce. So I think his contribution was vital, but it wasn't. I did not like him at the time, and the way he left,
we were so
the way he left as well for Leicester was a bit scummy, except for that we played them 2 weeks later and beat them 2-1, so that was quite nice.
And one of his signing, Robert Corrin scored the winner, sir. But
yeah,
exactly. One reason, like, I like Nigel Pearson, because he brought like some of my favourite players that I've ever seen at City, like obviously Corrin, Matty Fry, players like that. But apart from that,
He stabled the ship when he really needed to win after in administration.
I think he was, at the time, he was the right man to come in, given his experience. He was the right man to steady the ship, and that's exactly what he did. And like you say there, Annie, that obviously once he's gone, then hopefully he can progress as a club and push up the table. But you know what you're going to get with Nigel Pearson, that's the thing. Obviously, if you get rid of him, there's no guarantee that the person that comes in will be better, do a better job, but.
Can I just ask you guys very quickly, under Rosinha, what do you expect this season? Because I've seen a vast range of predictions and from experts and whatnot. As Hull City fans, what do you actually expect from this season?
I think 10th, personally.
Yeah, I predicted 11th. It could be around there. I think anything better than that's very positive. But, especially with the performances, they've not been fantastic. So, I think around there is probably where most City fans have said. Ant and Tom, 10th-ish?
No, winning the league, I reckon. No, I'm kidding there. I reckon, but I predicted 11th, so same as you, Nathaniel, but I think it's easy to get carried away at the start, but I do think still that we'll be around mid-table.
Yeah, I've got two Harrys in the comments saying 6th to 10th and top 8.
That's where I'd try and put us. But that's where Adjan wants us. That's what he said in his last interview. And he said this season he's aiming at the top 10. And I think if you look at the signings we're making, we just brought Scott Twine in. We're about to sign Philogene permanently as well as another player. The season's starting to come together.
Really?
Aren't they? Philogene,
That is a top signing. That is a brilliant signing.
Well, he's not officially signed yet, but he's the player we're about to sign. Yeah, so
he ripped us apart last season.
He ripped us apart. He made Jacob Green look a bit silly here, but it's the piece of the puzzle starting to come together, and I think we're starting to get the players that Rosinha wants in order to play the system that he's been trying to play with us since he's come in. And we've not had that fluidity up front and that versatility, and now we have. So it'd be interesting to see what state we're in, obviously, when the transfer window shuts, who stayed, who's come in. And then probably the thing is, such a strong league this year, isn't it? But I'd definitely take top 10. That's where we should be.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I think we might want to finish the episode looking at some more comments. I think there's a few more things to discuss Hull City-wise. So, Annie, thanks very much for coming on. Your YouTube channel is Robin's Talk. So do you just want to give yourself a shout out? What sort of stuff you do on there?
Yeah, my channel is AH Robins Talk. Just general Bristol City stuff. Get depressed most weeks. So if you want to hear about that, that's absolutely fine. Match previews, reviews. Go to the games as well. Hopefully, most of them. Just general, normal content creation. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much for having us. Cheers.
Cheers, Annie.
Bye. Yeah. So one thing people have pointed out in the comments is a sort of debate between Cyrus Christie and Louis Coyle. Coyle again,
there is
the
no
fantastic
debate.
Goal line clearance. Well, no debate. What do you mean by that?
Christie's not played well yet and he's not fully fit. Coyle's played well and he is fully fit. It's a simple answer there.
Yeah. Do you think that there is an easy way for Christie to come back in if he just, you know, gets fit? Will he be back in the squad? I mean, but Coyle back into last year as well, playing quite well. So it's going to be very tough for Christie to get back into the side.
Also, with Coyle as well, playing system. Quite well with broken ribs for most of the end of last season.
Yeah, and I guess his ribs are hopefully a lot better. So he's playing with perhaps a bit more maneuverability this season and loving being the captain, clearly, you know, quite experienced. Joint longest serving player for us as well, I think, with Doherty. So it's good to see, you know, a local lad in the squad. So, Tom, do you agree with that? Coyle's got to stay in the team until, you know, a poor run of form, perhaps?
I think defensively, Coyle is better than Christie, I think, in 1v1s. You know, I saw against Doncaster, that Christie just got ushered to the ground by the Donny player. They cross it in the score. It shows he's not, obviously, fully match sharp, fully fit yet. Whereas Coyle, like Will just said, that you know he's fully fit, he's playing well. I think he's playing the best football he has since joining the club, and he's thriving. I think. I don't think he's necessarily the right back that's gonna, you know, take us forward, you know, long into the future. But he's someone now that I think, you know, he always puts 110%. He's the captain figure in the team. He's one of, you know, he's one of the senior players. He's like 27, I know, but obviously got quite a young team. So I think. His leadership and experience is vital on the field, and you know, showing that now. And I think if Christie can get fully fit again, he can challenge, and that's what we need. I think we need Christie to sort of get fully fit to challenge Coyle. And I think in terms of his quality in the final third, you know, as we saw last season, Christie can produce that. And you know, in games where we're struggling to break down the team, perhaps that's where we can throw Christie on instead of Coyle, and you know, sort of like exploit that. But yeah, I think right now, obviously, Coyle a better player, but Christie has the potential to sort of be that guy. Mm-hmm. But,
yeah. Well, speaking for more competition elsewhere on the pitch, I've seen a few comments here saying that Harry Vaughan should perhaps actually go out on loan because again, there are many wingers. It's a bit harsh, perhaps, because he did play very well at the end of last year. But is that a possibility? Well, you don't look happy with that.
No. He should not go out on loan. I think, to be honest, bringing in players like Philogene will be good for him because I think having him constantly playing full 90 minutes might burn him out, to be honest. And very easy to do with a young player. I think it's good for him to have, not only just have competition, but for him to have time to rest as well and not have to play every game.
I'd think that, I'm under the illusion that a loan to a League One club would do him well, but obviously, I like the player, but perhaps playing every week would, you know, actually starting every week and playing. If he gets regular minutes here, then obviously that benefits him. But if he gets regular minutes elsewhere, I think that can be the development he needs. And I know, he showed good signs towards the end of last season. Perhaps people have hyped him a bit, and now I wouldn't say he's dropped off, but now obviously we've got players back fit. He's not getting in as much, but he did look quiet when he came on yesterday, so... Yeah, he's only going to improve. He's only 19, so hopefully he can improve us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I keep saying that on the wing is a sort of problem position for us. I mean, Twine's very good, and Philogene, you know, could be a very good signing, but perhaps it would be sort of something to look back at in January. Give all the players until January to see who can get into the team, get fully fit, and then maybe you want to look at Cynic and Aliar and Vaughan, perhaps. You know, should some of these players leave in January? Of course, some of them are only going to be available then because they're not fit now. But perhaps, you know, giving Vaughan some game time in League One if he's not got into the team very much before January is perhaps something that could happen. And then, a few people also talking about news on a goalkeeper. The only news on us signing a keeper I've seen is that Messina is a big fan of the Cardiff keeper Ryan Allsop, and again someone said he was born in Birmingham, so perhaps is he the new mystery player we're signing from the city of Birmingham, whether that's the club or you know, maybe they're just born their whole life said that. So, goalkeeper.
Is he
so
the, far... Danny
Olsen? What do I mean?
Is he related to Danny
Olsen? Oh, he is a bit. I don't know who he is.
Is he?
Oh, yeah, you're young to know who Danny Olsen is.
It's before Nathaniel Olsen.
Oh, I thought I'd said the got the first name wrong, like I did with the Bristol players.
But, no, we had an Australian striker called Danny also.
Oh, good. It was great. I'm so young, so I don't know this stuff. Do we still need a goalkeeper? Because I think, yeah, we do need one. Just, I don't know, because you look at Allsop, I don't know whether he's the sort of player who's really good with his feet. I think if we are going to get one, it would be good to have another keeper to just push Ingram. But I think really, because of the system and the issues we've had, it needs to be someone who can play, you know, and distribute the ball properly, right?
Yeah, I think obviously Ingram is playing well right now in terms of shot stopping and stuff like that. But I think, like, obviously Darlow came in, was great with the ball at his feet. And obviously, goalkeeper position with Iheanacho to improve this summer, and that's what we've needed to do. And obviously, we haven't done that yet, but I'd rather us bide our time and get the right player in. Then sort of rush to get one in and, you know, not be happy. But, like, I think that's where we've done it different this summer. I think we've learned from our mistakes from the last and sort of with our recruitment, sort of taking our time more, probably doing religiously scouting players instead of just sort of, you know, buying hit players from here, there and everywhere. And, you know, that's where hopefully a goalkeeper can come in before a deadline day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very sensible. Well, there's not really a huge amount more news to get through. One last thing, Enshep's talked about Max Bird. I think we've bid three times for him. I've not had a bid accepted, and now he's injured for about 8 to 10 weeks. Apparently, he went off in the game they lost to Oxford. So, seems unlikely that we'll sign him. Although, other than Traore, he would be... I really hope that... Because Messina said he wants to sign robust players. Can we please not sign this player we know is going to be out for the next 8 weeks? So, hopefully, if we are going to get another defence, play football rather than watch from the stand, that would be nice. So, I'm going to get very annoyed if we do sign him. But it seems that perhaps three bids rejected, that's not going to be possible. Also, we're not getting Cameron Archer, are we? I'm talking about the other player from Birmingham. Lots of comments.
Why? Because we've signed Daniela. Everyone's going Cameron Archer suddenly. No, we're not. No. If we're after Cameron Archer, we'd have already been before Villa.
He just came on today for Villa, so no chance.
Yeah.
There's Premier League clubs after him anyway. They're all about...
That's down again.
They're all about paying. He's got like a £20 million transfer fee on him. So unless it's a loan, no. I think obviously we've gone for, with Philogene coming in and Twine, I think it's very unlikely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough. Well, has anyone else got anything else you want to talk about on this episode? Because I think we've got through an awful lot today.
No, I think we've covered everything.
Yeah.
No? Okay. Well, thanks to everyone. Thanks to everyone for commenting and listening and subscribing. We really appreciate the support. And we'll be back again soon. I guess we've done the sort of Bristol City opposition preview, so we'll probably just be back next Sunday to talk about, hopefully, at least a 2-goal win. And we'll be, top of the league on Friday. So thanks again, and we'll be back next week.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.